So Chelsea's, my wife and her grandfather passed away just a couple of years ago at the age of 95. It's actually an amazing thing. He trusted Christ as a Savior at the age of 91. His testimony is a powerful thing. I'll share it sometime. But for the last few years of his life, he moved down from Denver to Houston to be closer to family. And that time with family was a real blessing, I think, to everybody involved. And my kids, man, they loved him, and they loved spending time with him. They loved visiting him. They loved hearing his stories, and he became a legend to them in their eyes. He was a soldier. He was in the Army. He fought in World War II, and they talked about that a lot, and obviously, he didn't share with them a ton of the details of his experiences while he was there. They got to see several of his pictures of him in uniform and him overseas. They got to see a lot of his medals, and he told them a story about the first time that he ever flew in an airplane, and that was their favorite story, and they asked about it all the time. And so Great Grandpops is what we call them. He was there, and he was in France, and he was with his group of soldiers, and it's not too long after D-Day, and his group is asked to go and take, you know, one of the next cities right there off the beach in France. And if you've ever seen Band of Brothers, that they have, I mean, that battle is in one of the episodes for the first real big city off the beach in France. And it's sort of surreal to watch that, knowing that Great Grandpops was there and he was a part of that. And he's told the boys a little bit about that. And he talks about how while he was there, that something exploded close to him and his legs were filled up with shrapnel. And he was wounded and he was in serious condition. He was injured. And by the grace of God, he was rescued. They were able to bring him back. They were able to stabilize him. And once he was stable, they put him on an airplane and they flew him over from France to England. And that's his story of the first time that he ever flew on an airplane. And my kids just love that. They're fascinated as they think of that. But there was this one time where after they heard the story, they said, "Hey, Dad, so what if they never would have gotten Great Grandpops to that airplane? What if the doctors weren't able to save him? What if he didn't make it back from that battle there? Who would have been our great grandpa?" And what they didn't understand was if he didn't make it out of there, they wouldn't exist. Right? They wouldn't be here today, right? He's a vital link in the chain of our family tree. It goes from him down to Chelsea's father, and then to Chelsea, and then ultimately with me and Chelsea to our boys. If he hadn't lived, our family wouldn't exist. He had to make it in order for our family to be created. And we see that same reality in God's Word this morning. If you've got a Bible, open up to Genesis 22. Genesis 22 is a foundational chapter of the Bible. As you're seeking to know the Word of God and understand the big picture of Scripture from beginning to end, this is one of those foundational chapters that you really need to pay attention to and to study, right? It's the story of Abraham and Isaac, and it's a major key in the big picture of the gospel, the story of Jesus in the Bible, especially as we trace the thread of the gospel through the Old Testament, ultimately into the New Testament. For Isaac here, if he does not live past this chapter, if he doesn't make it, then the thread of the gospel in the Old Testament's cut off, right? The chain in that family tree is broken, and we don't get the promise the way that God promises. Look with me here, starting in Genesis 22, verse 1. God's word says this: "After these things." Now let's pause right there, okay? It says, "After these things." When we read that, the natural question that has to come from us as we study the Word of God is this: after what things, right? What in the world is going on here? When we read the Bible, it's always important for us to know and understand the context. What are we reading? What's happened before? What's happening after? Well, what is going on where I pick up the Scripture here? When I was in seminary, my professor said it over and over and over again: Jesus is Lord and context is King. Is there a way of making sure we understood what it was we're reading? What's going on? So let's make sure we're caught up. When it says after these things, it's talking about this specific chunk of the Bible, right? The previous 10 chapters. All the way back to Genesis 12, it walks us through the life of Abraham. And if you've read the Bible, or if you haven't read the Bible, here's what we need to know. In the big picture of Scripture, Abraham is a very big deal, right? God makes a covenant promise with Abraham and says, I'm going to send the Savior. I'm going to send Jesus through Abraham's family. In Genesis 12, verse 1, God makes a covenant with him. He says to Abram, go from your country, from your kindred, from your father's house to the land that I will show you. And I'm going to make you a great nation. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to make your name great so that you will be a blessing. I'm going to bless those that bless you, and those that dishonor you, I will curse. And in you, all of the families of the earth shall be blessed, right? This promise to Abraham, it's a continuation of the promise that God made in Genesis chapter 3. Remember when Adam and Eve and the serpent were there? We talked about this last week. God promised in that moment in the garden in Genesis chapter 3, I'm going to send a Savior. I'm going to send someone to defeat sin and to defeat death and defeat evil and to defeat suffering all at once. God's going to send someone. God promised Jesus, right? Genesis 3, that's the first mention of Jesus. And here, we've got a continuation of that same promise. That's the thread, right? God says that through Abraham, the person's coming to bless the world. It's going to happen in Abraham's family. That's the gospel as it moves through the Bible. But here's the deal with Abraham. He's getting older, right? He and his wife, that they don't have kids yet. And so they begin to wonder, how is God going to do this? Right? God's made us a promise. How in the world is God going to fulfill this promise in us, two people with no kids? I was talking to a couple from our church years and years ago. I was much younger and much less wise than I am now, if you can say that. And they said, hey, listen, we're going to have to take a break from teaching our kids in student ministry for a little while. And that happens from time to time, right? Life situations and things change. And so I'm talking to him. Hey, how can I serve you? What's going on? How can I be praying for you? You know, what is it that's going to cause you to take a break? And they looked at me and they said, well, we're having a baby. And I looked at them and in my head, I was like, no way. And again, I've grown since then. I have not made this same mistake since that moment. And I looked at them and I made a joke. Like, no, you're not. That's impossible. And the husband joked back with me. So I'm going like he's making a joke here. And I'm thinking that no way, right? They've got a kid in college. Their youngest is 17. There's going to be a massive gap. And I'm like, there's no way you're going to have a kid. And then I saw on the wife's face that they were not joking. And it was real. But here's the point, right? That there's this moment for a lot of people. And they think, okay, you know, that our time for having kids is past. And Abraham was there in his life. Abraham's wife was 89 years old, right? Sarah was 89. They had no kids. Abraham himself was 99. And they had no kids. God promised that it was going to happen, right? And as we continue to read the Word of God, we see that God is faithful to His promises. God provided, right? God provided them a son named Isaac. He was born to Abraham and to Sarah when Abraham was the spry young age of 100 years old. Hebrews chapter 11 puts it very graciously when talking about Abraham as an older father. It says this, therefore from one man, Abraham, and Abraham as good as dead, were born descendants as many as the stars of the heaven. We had moms and dads up here earlier. We had moms and dads up here in the first service. If you have little ones in your house and you feel tired, know that you are not as good as dead. That's what the Bible said about Abraham, okay? So are you with me? And after these things, Genesis 22 verse 1, after what things? Well, Genesis 3, God promises a Savior. Genesis 12, God says the Savior's coming from Abraham. Genesis 21, God says the promise is coming from Abraham through Isaac, Abraham's son, and the nations are going to be blessed. That's where we're at. Back to Genesis 22, verse 1. After these things, God tests Abraham. And he said to him, Abraham. And Abraham said, here I am. And God said, take your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering, as a sacrifice on one of the mountains that I'm going to tell you. So God comes to Abraham again. And he says, Abraham, I want you to sacrifice your son. I want you to give up the son of the promise. And after all of their conversations, after all of the promises of God, after all of the work of God, after all of that God has told Abraham, I can assure you there is no way that Abraham ever expected God to ask that of him. And for us, as we read this, look at verse 1 again. What does it say? It says, God tested Abraham. So for us, as we read it now, for the original readers, the nation of Israel, as they would have read this, you know, looking back on Abraham's life, they and we can pick up right off the bat. This is a test, and God does not actually intend to allow Abraham to follow through with this. But Abraham doesn't know that, right? Abraham is living this life, right? All he hears is God telling him to do something, and so he's got a choice to make. What is he going to do? And if you look at verse 2, we see God's asking for his son. Read the text, his one and only son, the son that he loves. That sounds very similar to John 3:16, doesn't it? One and only son. In fact, son is repeated 10 times in this chapter. There's a major focus placed on the son here, on Isaac. Why? He's the son of the promise. He is the focus of the future hope. He's the one that God said, I'm going to bless all the families of the earth through your son Isaac's line. And now God's saying, listen, I want you to give your son Isaac up. Give him up to me. How in the world could God be asking Abraham to do this? I mean, think about Abraham's life. Think about all that Abraham has done to this point. When he first encounters God, the first thing that God says to Abraham is, leave everything behind. He says, leave your father's house. He says, leave your country, leave your family, leave your friends, leave everything you know and go somewhere. I'm not going to tell you where. I just want you to start walking. And when you get there, I'll let you know that you're there. He's asked Abraham for everything already, and Abraham did it. Right at this point in his life, God has asked him to sacrifice his past, and he's done it. And now God's asking for his future as well. Let that sit with you for a minute this morning. We might read this and think, Abraham's done enough. Abraham has sacrificed enough. He has obeyed enough. He has trusted enough. And now, after all that he's done, God is asking for the promised son. And here's what we see over and over again in the Bible. These people in the Word of God that are held up as examples for us, people that we can look to, people that we can learn from, people that we can say, hey, you know what? And they did it, and they lived it. And man, it would be great if we lived, you know, a life of faithfulness to God like they lived. Here's what we see in all those people, right? That they trust the heart of God. And because they trust the heart of God, they're able to obey the words of God. And that same thing is true for me and you, right? When we trust the heart of God, we're able to obey the words of God. That's where Abraham's at. He is trusting the heart of God. He knows God's for him. He knows that God loves him. He knows that God has made promises to him. And because he trusts all of that, he's willing to obey the word of God, right? The word of God. Look at verse 3. It says this, Abraham rose early in the morning. He saddles the donkey. He took two of his young men with him and his son Isaac. He cut the wood from the burnt offering, and he arose, and he went to the place that God told him to go. He obeyed. Listen, notice this. This is not an impulse thing. This is not a scenario where God tells him to do something, and he jumps, and it's done. Right? He's got to think about this. He's got a 3-day journey to get where God has told him to go. What in the world do you think's on his mind for those 3 days? I mean, think about the heaviness that's in his heart those 3 days. Think about just every step he takes. He knows he's getting one step closer to giving up his son, the son that God had promised him. Listen, I can assure you, with every step he took, he was having to make this conscious decision, I'm going to obey God. I'm going to trust God. I'm going to obey God. I'm going to trust God over and over and over again. As he goes, listen, I can promise you it was not easy for him. And you might be there now, right? Not in the exact same scenario as Abraham, but you might be in a season of life where obedience to God is hard. You might be being asked to do hard things, to navigate a challenging season in your life, in your family. You might be at this crossroads where you are having to trust God even when you don't understand. And if you're feeling that right now, or if that's the scenario that you find yourself in, I want to encourage you, follow the example of Abraham here and don't look to the end of the road. We don't know what's going on at the end of the road. We can't see where the end of the road is. Listen, just wherever you're at in that scenario, put one foot in front of the other. And with every step you take, every decision you make, trust God and make the choice to obey him day by day in those small moments, knowing that you can trust the heart of God one step, one decision at a time. That's what Abraham does. And look at verse 4. It says, the third day, he lifts his eyes and saw the place from afar. And so Abraham says to the young men that are with him, stay here with the donkey. I and the boy, listen to what he says. I and the boy, we're going to go over there. We're going to worship and come again to you. Think about that statement. I and the boy are going to worship and come again to you. He's saying they're both going to return. They're both going to come back. How could he say that? Guys, wait here. We're going there and we're both going to come back. Listen, that's impossible, right? He's going there to sacrifice Isaac. There's no way that they're both going to come back. How could he say that? I'll tell you how. He trusts God. He's walked with God. He has seen the faithfulness of God. He has seen God keep his word to him over and over and over. And he is at this place of spiritual maturity in his life. He's at this place of intimacy in his relationship with God where he trusts God to deliver on the promise. That doesn't necessarily mean he understands how God's going to deliver on the promise. He just trusts that he will. He's already had a kid at 100 years old. He knows that God can perform miracles. God's told him, I'm going to build a great nation. I'm going to bless the families of the earth through Isaac. He knows that Isaac can't die. He knows that Isaac can't be lost because the chain can't be broken. He is a critical link in the thread of the gospel from Adam and Eve through the Old Testament and down to Jesus. In Hebrews chapter 11, where we get a little bit of a glimpse into Abraham and what he's thinking. In Hebrews 11, 19, we read that Abraham considered that God was even able to raise Isaac from the dead. Listen, he trusted the promises of God so much that he believed that God could do and that God would do the impossible. It's because he trusts, he continues forward in obedience. Look at verse 6. Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and he laid it on Isaac his son. And he took in his hand the fire and the knife, and they went, both of them together. And Isaac said to his dad, and listen to this, Isaac said to his dad, Dad, and Abraham said, here I am. And Isaac said, we've got the fire, we've got the wood, but where's the lamb? Well, he knew what they were going to do. Well, where's the lamb for the sacrifice? Well, what is it that we're offering up to God? Impossible question for Abraham, right? What does he say? What does he say in that moment? I want you to notice this. He does not lie to his son. He does not try to explain things away. When he's faced with an impossible scenario, what does he do? He trusts God and he points his son back to God. Verse 8. He says, God will provide. God's going to provide the lamb for the sacrifice, my son. And so they went together. Abraham trusts God to provide. I'm convinced. He doesn't know what's going to happen. And even so, he's trusting God. He knows God has made a promise. God's going to keep the promise. He has an unrelenting confidence in the word of God. He has an unrelenting confidence in the promises of God. He is so confident in the Word of God, he was willing to give up his past. He is so confident in the Word of God now that he's willing to give up his future. He's got open hands here, and he's giving the entirety of his life to God. Why? Because he is so confident in the Word and in the promises of God. This is a great place for us to stop. We're right in the middle of the story and to ask this question of ourselves. How confident are you in the Word of God? How confident are you in the Word of God in your life? How confident are you in the promises that God has made to you for your life right now? Listen, Abraham, he's put his whole life in God's hands, past, present, and future. What about us? I want you to think about this with me. If you've trusted in Jesus as your Savior, that's what you've done. You've put your full hope and confidence in the promises of God. You've put your full hope and confidences in the future that God has said you will have if you trust in Jesus. You're trusting in your eternity, right? You're trusting that because of your relationship with Christ, that you're going to live forever in heaven with God the Father, right? We have put our entire hope in the promises of God for eternity. But I want to remind you of something. God has not just made promises for your eternity. God's made promises for your life here and now. God has made promises for your life on earth as well. You can trust him. You might find yourself in a tough season right now. You might be anxious or worried, depressed. You might be struggling. You might be unsure about tomorrow. Let me just remind you that as you read the Word of God, as you see the promises of God, you can trust him. You can trust God with your life. You can trust God with today. You can trust God with tomorrow. You can trust God with your kids. You can trust God with your grandkids. You can trust God with your finances, with your provision, with your health, with your marriage. You can trust God in every area of your life. And that trust, man, that trust develops and it grows as we know the heart of God, as we know the Word of God, as we know the promises of God, as we see the provision of God over and over and over again. That's where Abraham is, and that's why he can walk forward and trust. Look at verse 9. It says, they came to the place that God told him. Abraham built the altar there. He laid the wood in order on the altar, and he bound Isaac, his son, and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Think about Isaac, his son, the son that's old enough to understand sacrifice, the son that is old enough to ask the questions, the son that is old enough to carry all of that wood up the mountain. He binds that son and puts him on the altar. And in verse 10, it says, he reached out his hand and he took the knife to sacrifice his son. And in that moment, an angel of the Lord called from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here I am. And God says, don't do it. Don't lay a hand on the boy. Don't do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, seeing that you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. In that moment, God sees once again that Abraham trusts him. He's willing to obey no matter what the cost. And it's in that moment that God steps in and provides. Look at verse 13. Abraham lifted his eyes, and behold, that there was a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. And so Abraham went, he took the ram, and he offered that ram up as a burnt offering instead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place, the Lord will provide. As it is said to this day, on the mount of the Lord, it shall be provided. The Lord provides, right? Write that at the top of the page, at the beginning of the chapter, that's it. Right, that's the thread of the chapter. That's the thread of the gospel here in Genesis 22. God provides. He provides the ram for the sacrifice. And listen to this. Because the ram dies, Isaac can live. Because Isaac can live, the people of Israel can live. They can become a nation, and God provides a way for his promises to be fulfilled. Three times in this chapter, we see it repeated that God will provide. And that's the point of the story for us. God provides a way so that we can live. God provides a way for the promise of his Savior to come to pass. Listen, if this is critical for us to understand as we seek to understand the big picture of the Bible, as we seek to understand the Word of God and the promises of God from beginning to end, that this is a critical piece, a link in the chain, a link in the thread, the gospel, the promise of Jesus here, all the way back in Genesis chapter 22. And I want you to see how God responds to the obedience of Abraham. Look at verse 15. It says, the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time from heaven and said, by myself I have sworn, declares the Lord, because you have done this and not withheld your son, your only son, I'm going to bless you, and I'm going to multiply your offspring as the stars of the heaven and the sand on the shore, and your offspring will possess the gate of your enemies, and in your offspring all the nations of the earth will be blessed because you have obeyed my voice. So Abraham returned to his young men, like he said he would, with Isaac, and they arose and they went together to Beersheba, and Abraham lived there at Beersheba. Listen, Genesis 12 to Genesis 22, God speaks to Abraham 35 times. This is the 35th time, right, and the last time they speak. And in this moment, God doubles down on the promise here. Look towards the end of it. In Genesis 12:3, God says, the families of the earth are going to be blessed through your family. Now, God tells Abraham, the nations of the earth are going to be blessed through your family, through your offspring, through your obedience. Again, that's the gospel thread, and it happened. We can trace it, right? Go to Matthew chapter 1, and you see the line of Christ, starting with Abraham and then going to Isaac, and you can trace it all the way through the Old Testament to Jesus, right? And then think about Jesus and his life, perfect life, dies on the cross for our sins, and the last thing he tells his disciples before he ascends back to heaven is this. He tells them, go and make more disciples. Where? From every nation. The promise is realized in Jesus, not just the families, but the nations of the earth are blessed. Right? God provides a ram so Isaac can live. God provided Jesus so that all who believe in him can live. And from beginning to end, know that that is the story of the Bible. All right, so how do we respond to what we see here? It's a critical piece in the Word of God. We were reading the story to our kids years ago from their storybook Bible. We want them to understand how the Bible fits together with the gospel, the message of Jesus. So as we read the story to them and we talk about it, you know, they got this look on their face, and one of them sort of spoke up for maybe for all of them. He looks up and says, Dad, is that something that would still happen today? It's like, what do you mean? And he goes, well, I mean, do you think that you would ever do to me what Abraham was going to do to Isaac? And I was like, no, bud. His mind was going the wrong direction on that. Had to rein him back in and say, that's not what you need to get from this, right? This is what God is calling us to know and understand from this story here, that there's two specific things. And the first is this, it's that we can trust and obey God. I said it before, I'll say it again. When we trust the heart of God, we obey the words of God. And for us to know the heart of God, all we have to do is look. From beginning to end of the Bible, we see that God is for us, that God desires for us to be in a relationship with him. God was willing to go so far in that he gave up his one and only son, Jesus, to bring us into that relationship with him. We can trust his heart, and in doing so, we're going to obey his words. And his words, they speak into every detail of our lives, right? Beginning to end, top to bottom, every detail of our lives. Right, and when we trust it, we will obey it, and we'll be firm on it. That's what happened in Abraham's life. He trusted the heart of God, trusted the promises of God, and so he obeyed the word of God. He's a great example for us. And a lot of times we read this and we think, this is about Abraham. It's about Abraham. All my lessons are to be learned from Abraham. And while we do learn a lot from Abraham here, Abraham's not the main character here, right? That this is not a book about people. It's a book about God, right? God's the main character. And Genesis chapter 22, that this story is about God. Look at it. It is God all the way through. At the very beginning, God's the one that tested Abraham. God's the one that is trusted to provide. God is the one that stopped Abraham. God is the one that put the ram in the thicket there. God is the one that mountain is named after, the place the Lord will provide. And God's the one that blesses Abraham and his people, and ultimately you and me through the obedience of Abraham. The major lesson for the people of Israel is they read this generations ago, and the lesson for you and me today, it's simple. It's we can trust that God will provide, right? God's provision is the turning point in the story, and God's provision is the turning point in history. Listen, well, with Isaac on the altar, if you think about the original readers, they're like my kids. They're thinking, man, if Isaac doesn't make it, then we don't exist as a nation, right? God provides. And when God makes a promise, he's going to provide everything necessary for the promise to be kept. He keeps the promise here, and that threat of a Savior continues to Jesus, who, by the way, is God's ultimate provision for you and for me. Look at the thread through the Old Testament, Genesis 3. Sin separates us from God, but God says, I'm going to send a Savior. Genesis 12, God says that Savior is coming from Abraham's family. Genesis 21, God says that Savior is coming from Abraham's family through Isaac. Genesis 22, God doubles down on the promise. Isaac lives and the promise can be realized. And ultimately, we know that promise is fulfilled in Jesus. God provided a ram to die so Isaac could live. God sent Jesus to die so that you and I, if we trust in him, can live. Well, God provides, not by requiring us to sacrifice our sons, but by giving up his one and only son in our place. Look at how the whole Bible fits together, right? Pull this forward to John 3:16. What does God say? God so loved the world that he gave his son, his one and only son, the son that he loves. He gave his one and only son. Why? So that whoever believes in him won't perish, but will have eternal life. That's the Savior that God promised. Romans chapter 8, verse 31. What are we going to say about these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Right? God didn't spare his own son. He gave his son up for us all. How will he also, with Jesus, graciously give us all things? Listen, God provided a Savior. God provided Jesus. He's proven to us. He has proven to you and to me in the most extreme way possible, that God's for us, that nothing could separate us from his love, and that in Jesus we have all that we need for this life and for eternity. So be encouraged this morning, wherever you're at in your walk, wherever you're at in your life, God provides all that you need. Would you pray with me? And just in this moment, with your head bowed this morning, I just want to encourage you, go before the Lord in prayer. And some of us in the room today, many of us in the room today, we've trusted Jesus as our Savior. But I know that in a room this large and in a crowd this size, there are people here that have not yet trusted in Jesus as Savior. And if that's you, if you have been with us, if you were with us last week, if you're now here with us this week, and you're understanding more of the big picture of the Bible, you're understanding more of the heart of God and the plan of God and the promise of God and the provision of God to send Jesus so that you could step into a relationship with God. Listen, if you're here today and you're understanding that and God is working in your heart, I want to encourage you, don't leave here today. Right? Don't leave here today ignoring what God is teaching you. Don't leave here today ignoring what God is stirring up in your heart. If you've never trusted Jesus as your Savior, let today be that moment. Bible says in John chapter 1, right, all that believe in the name of Jesus have the right to become the children of God. Right, leave here today as a child of God. And here's what I want you to do, if that's you, if you've never trusted in Christ as your Savior, as soon as we wrap up, then come talk to me here and say, I'm ready to trust Jesus. Step into our connection room at the back of the room on the left-hand side. There's a cross above the door. People are walking that way now. And step in there. And say, hey, I'm ready to trust Jesus as my Savior. I understand now the promise of God. I want to live in that promise. Step in there. Don't leave today without getting your heart right with the Lord. And for those of us that have trusted God, man, my prayer is that you be reminded and encouraged and strengthened in your faith today. That God has a plan. That God has made a promise. Right? And that you can trust his promise. You can trust his plan. And you can trust his heart. Because it's when we're strengthened and encouraged in that way, when we trust it, when we know it, when we understand it, when we're moving forward in it, and we can put one foot in front of the other, being obedient and faithful to live out the word of God just like he has called us to do. For those of us that know Christ as Savior, be renewed, refreshed, and reminded today about the promises of God, the faithfulness of God in your life. If you're here this morning and you know about those promises, but still you're walking through a hard season. If you need prayer, man, that connection room is there for you as well. If you need to pray about something, maybe you're ready to be baptized like Nathaniel was earlier today. Maybe you just need someone to pray over you. Maybe you're walking through a difficult season. Man, step in there. Let's pray with you. Let us talk with you about what's going on in your world and in your life. We'd be honored to come alongside you in that. God, we love you this morning. God, we thank you for your word. God, the consistency of it. God, the faithfulness of it. God, we thank you that we can trace your plan throughout the entirety of the Bible. God, beginning to end, that it's not just a collection of independent stories, God, but that you fit this whole thing together. God, to show us how you're working out your promise. God, your blessing of Jesus for each and every one of us. God, Lord, I pray that you would continue to increase our understanding of your word. And God, as we understand your word, I pray that our relationship, our trust with you would continue to grow. And God, I pray that it would lead to a life of faithfulness and obedience like we saw in your word this morning. Lord, it's in your name we pray. And everybody said, amen.
Thank you for joining us online. We hope today's experience encouraged and challenged you. At Champion Forest, we are passionate about all kinds of people coming to know God, to grow in their relationship with him and others, and then to go out and make a difference in the world. We would love the opportunity to talk and pray with you. To connect with us, just go to championforest.org/connect. And hey, of course, we can't wait to welcome you on campus, in person, on one of our locations. We'll see you soon.